But we found mercy when we knelt at the cross. I was a sinner, just struggling along, when God's great hand of mercy reached down from heaven's throne. And it was there on that old altar that I felt so oppressed. But then God gave me mercy when my sins I confessed. Mercy, mercy, God's love.
Amen. Thank God for mercy. Amen. I'm glad that He had mercy on me. I'm not here today, and I want to tell you, if you don't know me, I'm not here because I've done anything good. I'm not here because I've done anything right. I'm just here because one day God extended mercy. He reached down. He wanted to save me, and He showed me His love, but I had to be willing to come. And it's mercy that allowed me to be here today. And I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord. If you got your Bible, if you would stand with us, we're going to read in the 5th chapter of Matthew. I'm going to read just a few verses. I'm going to read the Beatitudes. And then we're going to try to bring a message centered around just one of these. But you know, we are going to have baptizing here in just a few minutes. So we're not going to keep you any longer than the Lord would have us to. But I feel this message came on my heart last Sunday night in church, before I walked out of the church, and I have thought about it all week. Sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes that's a bad thing. Sometimes I get more than I know what to do with when it's like that. So you know what we want to do? We want to obey the Lord. You know how important that is? It's not important that we have our agenda or we do our thing, because sometimes what happens is we get in God's way. But we want God's will to be done. Amen? If you got your Bible, in the 5th chapter of Matthew, beginning in the 1st verse, Jesus said, "And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall inherit mercy, or they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now let's go back and read the seventh verse again, because this is going to be our text verse this morning. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I want to preach a message to you in this morning entitled, Blessed are the Merciful. And we just want what God wants this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, I am thankful for mercy that was shown to me. God, I'm thankful that I did not get what I deserved, but I was able to obtain mercy through Jesus Christ. God, we pray this morning that you'd send just the words that are needful for this hour and for this church and for these your people. God, we pray you'd send your spirit, you'd bind every demon spirit, every devil of hell, run them out of this place. Amen. God, if there's somebody here that's lost, they'd realize they need to be saved, for truly, truly, we are living in those last days. We give you honor, we give you glory, we give you praise for what you've done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now I want to preach a message to you this morning entitled, Blessed Are the Merciful. Now what is the opposite of mercy? And you think about this for just a minute. We know we've received mercy from the hand of God. But this scripture says, Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now that's talking about you and me. That's talking about us and how we respond to other people. You know, the opposite of mercy is when you hear harsh judgment. It's when there's trouble or a problem and the first thing somebody wants to do is present harsh judgment. Or it's where somebody would say something like, well, justice served. You know, there are times in life that that's true and that's so. But I'm so thankful that there are also times that God reaches down and he just shows us mercy. You see, because if we got what we deserved, we wouldn't be able to come into a house of the Lord like this, to be able to rejoice and feel the Spirit of God come in amongst us and dwell in our hearts and just feel so much love of God. You know, it's not because we're worthy, it's because God is merciful. And now the opposite of merciful is judgmental. You know, I've heard this, and this is a write-it-down statement. I'm going to go ahead and give it to you, and I may come back to it in just a minute. And I've said this once before here, I'm sure. But it says, beware of men with strong convictions but little compassion. Now, you think about that for just a minute. You know, you can have too much one way or too much the other way. I believe the preacher is supposed to declare the whole counsel of God. In other words, there are times that he'll preach a message, and people just eat it up. You know, it's just so sweet to preach about heaven. But then there are times the preacher may be asked by God to preach on a particular topic or a particular sin, and people really they're not comfortable with that. We're not comfortable when the Word of God pricks us in our heart, or as I've heard it said, steps on our toes. And I want to tell you something. I've only preached on this a few times, but I found that this message has the tendency to convict Christians more than any other message that I've ever preached. Because a lot of times people that are faithful to the house of God, that go to the house of God regularly, they've got an air about them of being Christian and religious, and sometimes, and you'll use the word self-righteous, that there's no mercy about them. And I believe God wants us to be merciful. Now, I want to first look at the meaning of mercy. What is mercy? But before we look at mercy and what it is, let's look at what mercy is not. You see, mercy is not sentiment, because sentiment is selective. You can be sentimental about one thing and not be sentimental about another thing. In other words, there are certain things that you may have a tendency to feel sorry for somebody about and not another. But you know, what we ought to do is be the Spirit of God. Let God speak to our hearts and our minds. Mercy is not softness. You say, well, if you preach that way, then you're soft on sin. Well, that's not true. I want to give you a couple of more verses out of this Matthew chapter number 5 that are just down a few verses from where we read. And this is also what Jesus said. These are words in red. It's beginning in verse number 17. This is what Jesus said. He said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it be fulfilled. Now what that means is not one dotting of the I or one crossing of the T. Because when the scribe would copy, it had to be perfect. And what Jesus is saying is, I'm not come to destroy the law, I'm come to fulfill the law, because nothing from the law is going to pass away. It says, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men to do so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now here he's calling the scribes and the Pharisees on the carpet. These are the most religious people of the day. These are the people who are supposed to know and understand the Word of God. But he says, their righteousness is not what I'm looking for. Now, when we look at this scripture and we look at what it means, it's not softness. He's saying nothing from the law is going to pass away. In other words, you are accountable for everything written herein. Now, that's strong. And I want to tell you something, that's heavy on me. But we're going to come back to this in just a minute. Because it was God's love and mercy that allowed us to be here. Amen. It's not that we kept this law. It's not that we can keep this law. It's not that we're good enough. It's that God is merciful. It was not sentiment. It was not softness. And it's not selfishness. You know, sometimes a person will be merciful because they have expectation of getting gain. In other words, they'll be kind to one person, but not to another person. You know, I've seen this in churches. They're willing to reach out to a certain crowd, but they're not willing to reach out to another crowd because this particular crowd over here doesn't have anything that it can bring to the table. You know, we ought to be willing to reach out and help anybody who needs help in the name of the Lord, because that's what God did for us. Okay, mercy is not selfishness. Well, what is mercy? Think about this. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Okay? And mercy is also getting what you do not deserve. Now, I want to tell you something. There's times that God has poured mercy and kindness and love out on me. And I want to tell you why it's overwhelming. Because I know that there's nothing I can do to deserve it. I know that there's nothing I can do to accept it other than just God loving me. You see, mercy is grace. Grace, if you'll have it as an acrostic, is God's riches at Christ's expense. It's what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. That's why I wanted them. I asked them to sing that song. I got to thinking about that song this week, and I really do appreciate them. They brought the words this morning, and they learned that song to sing it in this service this morning. Praise the Lord. We may have them come back and sing it in just a minute. But I want to tell you, it's God's love and mercy that allowed us to be here today. You see, mercy comes from God. Mercy is identified by its marks. Well, what are the marks of mercy? I want to go to Colossians chapter 3, and beginning in the 12th verse, I want to read. They're going to put it on the screen for you. If I go too fast, I can't help it. I sometimes have so much I have to go or I'll never cover it all. And sometimes that's really the way it is when we get a week to study and think about something. But what are the marks of mercy? It says in the scripture, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Well, what are the marks of mercy? I first want us to look at the realm of condemnation. You know, sometimes when a person's done something wrong and, you know, we look at them and we see them, you know, the first thing that people do is they want to condemn. You know, but what I believe God's Word teaches me is I'm supposed to have forgiveness. You know, if you don't have forgiveness, how can you that have been forgiven by the grace of God not have forgiveness in your heart? You see, here's the thing to understand. If you've been forgiven, you have to be a forgiving person. We have no choice but to. If we've been forgiven, we have to be pardoning people.
You know, sometimes I don't understand why the church acts and does the way it is. It's the only place where sometimes people go that they shoot their wounded. You know, why are we here today? It's not because we're good people. It's not because we're religious people. It's not because we've done anything. It's because we found mercy when we knelt at the cross. And somebody come in trouble, a lot of times I've seen how they devour them. They get around them. It's just like those that were, when the woman was at Jesus' feet that was taken in the act of adultery. Everybody had a rock. And they wanted to throw them. Where did they come from? Where would you be if it weren't for the mercy of God? You must forgive if you've been forgiven. Kind of like a person going to a restaurant. And the waitress come in. And she's slow and she gets the order wrong. And I've heard people say, well, bless God, if they don't get it right, I ain't leaving them a tip. I heard a preacher say this. He said, well, if you want my tip, you need to cut into that steak and see if it's cooked right. But I heard another preacher say this. He said, I ordered pancakes and scrambled eggs. She showed up with fried eggs and gravy biscuits. And I just looked at her and I said, how in the world? He said, honey, let me ask you something. How in the world could you get this wrong? There must be something going on in your life. He said, as we stood there and I wanted to scream, but I didn't. I was trying to do the godly thing and the right thing. He said, she broke down in tears and tears began to run down her face. And she said, you know, 6 months ago, my husband left me. And she said, I just found out last week I've got terminal cancer and I've got 3 little kids at home and I don't know what I'm going to do. You don't know what the person you're talking to needs. They need mercy. The realm of condemnation. The realm of criticism. You know, who are you judging? You know, one thing I'll tell you, and we'll probably preach on this at some point. Folks, it is not judging to agree with the Bible that sin is sin, okay? So we can, and people say, well, Jesus said, judge not. I'll tell you, I don't have time to dig into it this morning, but Jesus said also judge ye, okay? He said more than that. We need to understand the context of the scripture where it's written. But here's where it's at in the realm of criticism. It's when you see somebody that's in trouble, here's what they say. I knew it all the time. I knew they were no good. And sometimes you even hear this. I told you this was going to happen. Now let me tell you, that's not merciful. The Bible tells us if any man's going to speak, let him speak for edification. How can you lift somebody up if that's your attitude? This is exactly why this scripture eats up Christians. One time I preached this at a church and there was a man, every time I preached, he'd come up to me, oh, Brother Joe, oh, I appreciate that message. Oh, that was so good. I want to tell you, I preached on mercy, it hair-lipped him. He wouldn't talk to me no more. Why is it? Because it was all on the surface. If you're a merciful Christian, it goes into your heart. And it'll reflect how you treat people. It's not judgment to call sin sin, but here's judgment. Judgment is passing sentence. You know, this not up to you what happens to somebody that does wrong. It's up to God. I'll tell you exactly what I find written in the Word of God. God teaches us that we ought to be merciful. He's teaching us that we ought to be forgiving. He's teaching us that we ought to be kind. Have you ever had a problem in your life or a problem with one of your kids? And sometimes this is the way people say, preach all you want to. That's not me. Well, where are you going to go tomorrow? I got children to raise. How about you? I got family that I'm praying for. How about you? Something happened in your home or with one of your children? You ever been around one of them people, every time you're around them, they want to cut you. They want to remind you of something in your past or something that you've dealt with or something in one of your children's lives, and it gets to the point that you avoid being around them because you don't want to hear the things that they say. How can that be merciful? How can that be lifting somebody up? It's cutting remarks. It's crudeness. It's rude. It's harshness. Folks, I want to tell you, there's no place for these types of remarks in the life of a Christian. You know, sometimes, let's just be honest, sometimes people make mistakes, right? Now, aren't you glad that when you made a mistake that God still loved you? Aren't you glad that His mercy was there when you went to the cross and you fell down at His feet? He didn't say, well, you're dirty. Get away from me. I tell you what he did. He come in with his Holy Spirit. And he's poured it over you. And he washed you with his love. And he reached down with his arms and he put them around you. And he pulled you up close to him. And he let you weep on his shoulder. Because he knows that if you really love him, it hurts you. It hurts you when you do something wrong. Because you love God. I'm so glad that that's the Lord I serve. We got the realm of condemnation, the realm of criticism. Then we have the realm of compassion. You know, sometimes you have to help people right where they are. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. You know, I like to study about the animals in creation. And, you know, all the Bible says every beast of the field, God said it's mine. And I look at the geese. You know, when I see the geese fly over, I always stop and watch them. Because you can watch the geese when they're flying in formation. The one that's up front sometimes pulls away and it pulls back. And you'll notice back at the back over here, you'll see some fluttering. You know why they're fluttering? It's because they're not as strong as the ones that are up front. And they fly in formation, and sometimes the leaders change out. And sometimes those that are at the end that are weak, they'll pull off of the pack and they'll go down. And I've seen this happen to where some of the geese up front will fall out. And you know what they do? They go and they wait with them until they get enough strength that they can go on to the destination. But what do we do? I heard a preacher say this week, he made a decision about the church, and it was his decision, and 150 people left. And he said, well, what do you feel about it? He said, well, they're out of the way. I want to tell you something. This is the way I feel about church, folks. There are no acceptable casualties. There are no acceptable casualties. Everybody's important in the house of God, and everybody's feelings are important, and we ought to love them enough that we try to help them to stay with us on this journey. You know that somebody somewhere could use your help right now. There are people in this church that need the help of others. There are people outside the doors, and I tried to mention it. I mean, there's plenty here to help people. Celebrate Recovery is a great program. Sunday schools are a great program. Worship service is a great program. There's so much singing. There's so much praising. But sometimes people don't come because they don't feel like people are merciful. You know, there are marks of mercy, but I want you to see the motivation of mercy. Here's what the motivation of mercy is. The motivation of mercy is mercy. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, now look at that for just a minute and think about it. Why should I be merciful? I'll tell you why I should be merciful. Because I'm going to need mercy. And I'm going to need God's mercy on me. I'm going to need God's mercy on my family. I'm going to need God's mercy for my children. I've heard it said that every man wants his children to be greater than he was. You ever heard somebody say, well, I've raised mine right. I thank God they didn't do what that one did. Do you really believe that you're that good? I want to tell you what I believe. I believe God is merciful. And I've heard things come out of people's mouths that scares me for them. It scares me for them. In Luke 6:36, it says, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. I want to be merciful because I know that I'm going to need God's mercy on me and on my family. What is the motivation of mercy? It is mercy. And I want to consider it for myself. In Galatians chapter 6 at verse 1, here's what it says. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. It's not that I'm going to be kind of like Peter when he was trying to argue with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to be with you to the end. That'll never be me. I'll never turn my back on you. I'll never curse and swear that I don't know you. But he did. You know, remember, beware of men with strong convictions, but little compassion. James chapter 2 and verse number 13, it says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. I need mercy. I need God's mercy. You know, I need mercy because I have failures. Because I'm not always everything that I need to be. I've got times in my life that I have to come to the Lord and I ask for forgiveness. Now, how can I ask for forgiveness if I'm not willing to forgive somebody else? So we have the marks of mercy, the motivation of mercy, and let's look at the measure of mercy. But before we do, I want to give you just an example of something that I've experienced in my life. You know, sometimes people, they're quick to judge somebody else till it's them. And I heard a story of a pastor and an associate pastor in a particular church. And the associate pastor was serving and the pastor was serving, and come to find out that the associate pastor, his daughter, was with child out of childbirth or out of wedlock. And the pastor, when he found out about it, and some of the members of the church, they were very, very harsh on the associate pastor. They were hard on the girl. They were hard on the family. They had the associate pastor to give up his position. Pretty much no mercy. Well, during the process of time, it just destroyed the associate pastor. It hurt his family. It hurt them. You know, and the pastor was smoting upon his breast like the Pharisee when he was there before the publican. He said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this publican. I tithe, I fast, I do all the things that I'm supposed to do. But the scripture says that the publican would not even so much as lift up his head. The Lord said that the publican were not justified other than the Pharisee. Amen. You know that in the process of the time, the pastor, it was found out that his daughter also was with child out of wedlock. You know, what happens to a person like that when they're like that and they've got that kind of harshness in their heart and in their spirit? I'll tell you what happens to them. There's a man that used to preach for my dad. He preached revivals when I was growing up, and I'm talking about he preached and he preached and he preached and he preached. And I can still remember him, and there was a time when we called him and he was not preaching anymore and he was away from God. And I can remember my dad went and got to see him, trying to get him to come back, trying to restore him. You know, the Bible says, if a man be overtaken, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. My dad went to see him, and you know what he said? He said, I can't come back. He said, the reason I can't come back, he said, all those years I was so harsh. All those years I was so hard. All those years that I preached and I was hard on people. And I didn't have mercy. And he said, and I preached against the things that are now in my own life. And he said, you know what it was? He didn't know God was merciful. You know why he knew God was merciful? Because he spent enough time in his prayer closet talking to him to get peace. He had to know that God was merciful. But you know why he couldn't come back? Because the way he preached and mistreated people. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, if I could do anything in my ministry more, he said, I wish I'd have just helped more people. You know, God's going to sort them out in the end. What he wants you and I to do is have mercy. He wants us to have mercy and help everybody that we can because he's been merciful to us. Let's look at the measure of mercy. Now, folks, the measure of mercy is Christ. It is Christ. Now remember, we read down in the 17th verse, it said that not one jot or one tittle will pass from the law. But here's what I want you to understand. Jesus Christ came into the world, lived a sinless life, completely fulfilling the law, lived without sin so that he could die on a cross on mine and your behalf, and we could stand and go to heaven in his place. Okay? He did it for us because we could not do it for ourselves. And if we understand that transition, we ought to be merciful people. John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." You see, that's God's love and mercy. And then there was the death sentence. Do you know that guilt, when we stand before the judge and the gavel falls, there's a sentence for death. But Jesus took our death sentence. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he, God the Father, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God through him." He took my place. I experienced his love. I experienced his mercy. And this is, you know, this is great what I'm about to tell you. We became his righteousness. You know, I'm not righteous. Just ask my wife. What about you? Would you want it to be displayed upon these screens, everything you've said and done this week? No, none of us. Well, where is our righteousness? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died as me. And when God the Father looks at me, he sees me through the veil of Christ. He sees me forgiven. He sees me pure. He sees me clean. And folks, I want you to understand, he sees me bathed in the mercy of God. Romans 5:18 says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life." Then in Romans chapter 5, verse 20 and 21, it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Folks, mercy has been poured out on you and I through Jesus Christ. The measure of mercy is that Jesus took all of my sin and all of your sin, and he accepted our payment. Like when we were in the courtroom and they said, "Have you done this?" Everybody knows it's clear, yes. "Are you guilty of this?" "Yes." Well, you know what the sentence is. And one stood up and he walked forward and he said, "Pardon them completely. Pardon them completely. I'll accept their sentence." That's what Jesus did for me. See, in Psalms 103:8, it says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." Now, folks, that's for today. Let me tell you something. Just because I'm a Christian don't mean I don't still need mercy. I do. I live in the same world that you live in. I deal with the same traffic on 285 that you deal with. I'm trying to raise children. I'm working with people that don't do what they're supposed to do. I'm working with people sometimes that call me names. And I have to get humble. I need mercy. 103:11 says, "For the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." God's merciful. I'm glad God's merciful. Now, let me tell you something. We're going to ask him to come back and sing this song in just a minute again. I got saved when I was 12 years old, okay? And I know I got saved. I experienced it. The preacher was preaching, and it was like ice water poured on me when the Holy Spirit woke me up. And it's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, "He is talking to you." That was the first time I know that was God's voice. And I was never the same after that. I went to that altar, and I've heard God speak time to time. And you have too. You have too. But there are times in my life as I've grown and I've gotten older, especially when I begin to go through my teenage years and trying to sort things out and trying to find out what God wanted me to do. Sometimes I go to the altar and I'd pray like this. I say, God, if you'll just forgive me, give me my peace back. Like David when he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I said, God, if you'll just give me peace back, Lord, it's what I'd say. I promise I'll never do that again. You know, I promise I'll never go there again. You ever been in one of those revivals? Are you in one of those meetings and the Spirit of God is so strong and you come down and you rededicate your life to the Lord and you say, God, I can't believe I ever strayed from you. Lord, if you'll just restore the joy and the peace to my soul, Lord, I promise I'll never get out there again. Now, folks, listen. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed that way. I can't tell you how many times that I've come and said, it's me again, Lord. I've got a prayer that needs an answer. Lord, I know I disappointed you again. Lord, I know I said I'd never do that, but Lord, here I am. Let me tell you something. You're going to need mercy till the day you die. And because you're going to need mercy till the day you die, you need to be merciful. Amen. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Y'all come on and get ready for the song. Now, I want you to think about something. Are you merciful? Am I a merciful person? Do I have a merciful spirit? Is God working in my heart and in my life? Do I realize how much He loves me? See, there's no doubt that you need mercy. You need it. I need it. You say, well, you know, I'm troubled in my heart. Do you need to experience God's mercy? You know, I ask you to rise to your feet as they get ready to sing. Do you know if you need to experience God's mercy, you're in the right place? You're in the right place to do that because there's an altar here and there's an altar here. And I want to tell you why. I don't know why God wanted me to preach this, because I want to tell you something. This is about the most merciful church I've ever been in. Okay? This church is doing the right things. Okay? This church is involved with trying to help people. This church is not one of those that turns people away because they can't give. It's not one of those that turns people away because they're not dressed like you think they ought to be dressed. I want to ask you, where is it at in your heart with God? Because there's nothing more you need in this life than a right relationship with a living God. And as they sing this song, this is a wonderful time. Wonderful time for you to come and talk to the Lord. You may not ever have a time like this again. Go ahead.
Gotten
But we found mercy when we knelt at the cross. I was a sinner, just struggling along, when God's grace